It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A family in West Virginia coal country learned the hard way that their well water was contaminated.
You seen that one with the tombstone up there? That's my papa.
One of the things on his death certificate was kidney failure, and that was arsenic that was in the water.
As coal mines play out, water problems add up. We'll have that story from the Ohio Valley Resource just ahead on this West Virginia morning. The president of West Virginia University released a letter this weekend emphasizing the university's commitment to safety after two recent shootings near the Morgantown campus. One ended in a fatality. WVU President Gordon Gee wrote to the community that the campus of more than 26,000 students is concerned and unnerved, but that the shooting on Friday and Saturday remain an aberration to our life here. Two people were arrested in Friday's shooting at a student housing apartment complex and charged with first-degree murder. Neither was a student. The university identified the victim as 21-year-old Eric James Smith, a sophomore from New Jersey, majoring in multidisciplinary studies. Early Saturday, two men were arrested in an apartment shooting that left one person injured. Morgantown police said the victim and another person had been invited to the apartment for a marijuana purchase that turned into a robbery attempt. Gee said the university will look into additional measures that can be taken to prevent such events from happening again. Some 2 million people in the U.S. live without access to running water, and many more live with contaminated water. Reporter Benny Becker visited people in the Ohio Valley and on a Navajo Nation in Arizona who live without adequate clean water. Those include a West Virginia family desperate to get connected to a clean water supply. Their well water was contaminated, and they suspect pollution from years of coal and gas extraction is to blame. Here's their story in their own words.
So here's the water.
That's all coming straight out of that mines right there. It's got a dingy, oily, filmy look. This is what always happens around here. When it don't produce money for them no more, they walk off and leave it. And who's stuck with it? We are.
Hello, I'm Melissa Easterling.
I'm Chauncey Easterling.
We're from McDowell County, West Virginia. We're having a lot of problems with our water.
And they think that's what killed her dad.
Do you want to introduce yourself, or you'd rather not be on the
radio? I'm just Timothy.
Timothy? How old are you, Timothy?
7.
Do you remember ever using the well water?
I've never been around that time, too.
He was around, but we never allowed him to use it.
Yeah, but one time Chet used it, and he got so sick, he just gave up and died, didn't he?
Honey, he didn't give up. He had to go.
You seen that one with the tombstone up there? That's my papa. Used to be my papa.
Our water first had a funny smell to it, and then it got real dingy.
You couldn't get it on you, it'd eat your skin.
We contacted the health department, and he gave us a list of what was in it. And then we went on out to Ridge testing.
Every bit of what we've had tested in a good 2-mile radius around us, we've been told not to drink the water, not to bathe in the water, not to touch the water.
Are there many people who are still drinking the well water or spring water right around here?
There is a lot. Our neighbor out there that's got a lot of lead in it, she still drinks it even though she knows that it's bad.
We got to have some help. And they need to clean this mess up before a lot more people get killed, die from it. I mean, you don't really know the extent of this. But till they do something like that, we need help with city water right down in here.
I'm Mavis Brewster, General Manager for McDowell County Public Service District. Those residents are desperate for water service. We've been trying for several years and have not gotten funding for that one. federal funds and state funds have not been as plentiful as they used to be. And every year we're competing against ourselves and against everyone else that needs money.
You see, it's going to happen everywhere because these are some of the wells when they first started finding gas around here. Kentucky, Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania. You can go anywhere and find situations like this right here.
I'm Nina McCoy. I'm from Inez, Kentucky, in Martin County. After what happened in Flint, it was like, oh my gosh, there's other people who have water problems. We all need to get together on this because this is a problem nationwide.
I'm Yate. My name is Nicole Horseherder. The English equivalent of Diné is Navajo. My family for generations have lived on Black Mesa. Black Mesa is a high plateau in northeast Arizona. On the northern end of the plateau, Peabody used to operate two mines. We've seen changes. Our springs and seeps don't produce, and the water's contaminated. What's going to be here in 20 years? If it's not going to be here and it's a life-giving element, there's going to be no life here.
We used to drink the water out of that creek. Now you can't do it. It's contaminated. And God knows, our children's children won't be able to go down there and swim in that creek or fish in that creek. Money don't last. But money will fix the problems here and fix it to where the land will last. But if we don't get no help, none of it's going to get fixed. That's the big situation.
That compilation of voices came to us from reporter Benny Becker, with support from the Abrams Neiman Fellowship and the Ohio Valley Resource. The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Rain and gusty wind possible today with highs in the 40s and low 50s. Chance of rain tonight with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 50s and low 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, now with flights to Orlando, Florida, MCO. More at JaegerAirport.com. Support is also provided by the CAMC Foundation, keeping families together at the CAMC Foundation Hospitality House, with low-cost lodging when a patient must receive medical care away from their home community. More information at CAMCFoundation.org. Northern Panhandle author Nora Edinger is taking advantage of the internet to deliver a new story in an old way. She is publishing a serial version of her novel, Suspended Aggravation, on the Wheeling-focused website, Wheelunk.com, and is localizing the story around the sights and sound of the city. She spoke to Eric Douglas to explain the process.
Serial fiction began in the 1920s, and a lot of famous authors from that era began publishing stories in newspapers and weekly magazines that were eventually turned into short stories and books. You've created a serial story that is being published on the Wheelunk website called Suspended Aggravation. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it was actually written as a novel. I was picturing people reading it on paper and that type of thing that we have normally done with books, but the opportunity came along through my freelance journalism with Wheelunk to turn it into a serial book and also to localize it so that it would feel like it was unfolding in real time in the city of Wheeling. And I thought that was a great opportunity. I was familiar with writers that have done serial work. Jan Kieran, her original Mitford novels came out through a North Carolina newspaper. And I knew even Rachel Carson had released nonfiction work that way, I believe, through the New Yorker. So I knew it had been done. And I thought, this sounds like fun to me. Both the serial nature and the localization nature really appealed to me as a way of almost interacting with the community in a fictional form.
The story's done, in other words, though, but as you release each chapter, you're localizing, or how what's the process for that?
Since I have the manuscript completed, I don't have to be thinking through the plot, but we're trying to put together 1 month of releases at a time, and I'm working with editors at Wielunk and photographers at Wielunk who are looking at each chapter as it comes out. We're deciding what photos that we want to use to illustrate that. We're trying to sneak some local people in cameos, either into the photos or into the story. I'm never putting fictional words in a real person's mouth, but putting some real personalities from the community in a setting that would be appropriate and doing things that we know them to be doing. If we see something happening in the news that we know people will remember, like the J-Lo halftime show at the Super Bowl, that just kind of made it in like a phrase and a sentence that just made it in because we figured people would remember that. And one day, the potholes that opened up on I-70 near the Highlands, we realized, you know, that's something that we could slip into the story as it happens. The main character, the main male character, is a highway engineer. And so that's something that, you know, his job would be dealing with, and just worked that into the plot in a tiny way. So if something happens, we work a month at a time. And if something happens that I think is really timely, I'll contact Phyllis and say, can I tweak this paragraph? And we'll try to add it in so that it feels like it's happening in real time.
Tell me about the story a little bit. What genre would you put it in?
Basically, it's a romance with an element of suspense to it. It's a very light read. I've tried to have a humorous tone throughout, but the characters go through, you know, the typical problems that you would have. Social media is a big player in this particular story, but it's basically about a couple that meets in high school, rather, and things don't end well for them, and they don't see each other for about a dozen years, but they're suddenly reunited in Wheeling. And he is a highway engineer, and she's a journalist, imagine that. And her work and his work bring them together very briefly at the Wheeling Suspension Bridge.
So what's been the reaction from the community so far?
It's kind of funny. People almost giggle. They seem to be having fun with it, which is what I was hoping for. This is not a serious story. You know, I did not write Old Man in the Sea set in Wheeling. It's a love story. It's a story of hope. And I've lived in Wheeling for about 14 years now, about 25 years total in the state of West Virginia. And I've really watched this community in its early stages of reinvention. And I think it's kind of neat to have a story of hope that focuses on two young people during a time when the city seems to be experiencing a real resurgence of hope and reinventing itself.
You've created a fictional character. Are people trying to guess, well, is that really based on, you know, and trying to put real faces to fictional characters?
I haven't seen that yet. People have asked, my own daughter asked me, she goes, where is this this coffee shop that Allie lives above? And I looked at her and I said, well, it's not real. So I've gotten kind of that people are thinking, you know, kind of like, where is the dividing line? Because some of the events in the story are real, and many of the places in the story are real, and occasionally a person is real. And so I think people are kind of having to think about it, but from the interactions I've had with people, they get it, and it just kind of makes them chuckle.
That was Nora Ettinger speaking with Eric Douglas about her online novel, Suspended Aggravation. The story is set in Wheeling, West Virginia, is being released one chapter a week. It will end the Sunday before Thanksgiving. To find out more about Suspended Aggravation or to explore more Appalachian author interviews, visit us at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.